Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 313, recorded on November 19th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good. How about you?
I'm great. I'm glad you are back from whatever adventure, maybe plural adventures. Multiple adventures. It's good to have you back. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Sweet.
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Still here.
Yeah, we're all still here. And Nintendo has announced that our happy favorite little character is going to be making it to the iPhone on December 15th, Super Mario Run for $9.99.
Didn't they already have this announcement?
Well,
no, their earlier announcement was December.
Yeah, so now it's going to be the middle of December, which is cool because it's not, you know, December 30th.
And it's also good it's not December 16th.
Why is that?
Because the 16th is when Star Wars Rogue One opens, and it's also the day that Man in the High Castle Season 2 on Amazon starts.
So do you think that... Is Rogue One going to be good?
It looks freaking awesome.
All right.
It's going to be really
the trailers make it look freaking awesome.
I know. You watch the trailers and then you have to go spend some time in your bunk.
All right. But the cool thing with Super Mario Run is it will offer, so it has three different modes and
there's no in-app purchase and stuff, right?
Well,
no in-app purchases.
Yeah, it is. One in-app purchase to get to unlock the full thing. So you can download it.
Well, they said...
Oh, so it's a free download and then a $10 in-app purchase to activate the game.
Right. Yeah, so you get access...
So you're downloading like a trial mode.
Yes, exactly.
But there's still an in-app purchase, and they said no in-app purchases.
Well,
I think they mean once you buy the game, you're not having to spend more money. It's not like you've got to buy, like, you know... coins to keep playing, which is the most annoying thing.
Yeah, that yes, I agree with that completely.
Yeah,
but
I don't feel slighted.
You know, I'm going to be mildly cranky because I've just come off of 2 weeks where, honestly, this morning I was standing in a line to get on an airplane, and I had to ask people, "What city is this going to?" So anyhow.
So Jeff, I think they
should have just charged us the $10 right up front and called it good.
I think this is better. I'm happy about it because I get to play with it, and there's no will I like it, will I not like it. You get to try it, and then if you like it, you can buy it, and then it's a done deal. So
all right. So sorry, I interrupted. You were describing what we were going to get for our $10.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you download it, and you get a trial of every one of the three modes of gameplay, and then yeah,
and
you just pay
modes?
$10. What are the modes? I don't know. I didn't read that far into it.
Oh, gee, man.
I don't know that they've actually said
professional.
Well, what are the modes, Mr. Professional?
I don't know. It's your show.
It just says three modes. Anyway,
so
I don't get a preview all that much about Mario.
What's that?
I said it.
What did you say?
You totally just said it.
What did you say?
Sometimes, Adam, it's like I don't even know you.
You don't care that much about Mario? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Well, whatever. I don't care that much about Star Wars. I said that.
Ooh. Sometimes, Michael, it's like I don't even know you.
All right. So let's talk about my favorite obsession.
The week
now.
Of shocking reveals.
My favorite obsession is the AirPods. And when the hell I can buy them?
Not this year.
Not this year.
Are you kidding me? Because there have been a lot of rumors.
Okay. Oh, those are people that are
confused.
Just,
Okay, so from
and so desperate.
Are you gonna cover my favorite rumor of the week or past couple weeks?
Probably. So okay. in order. So Economic Daily News via DigiTimes says that we're not gonna see it until January 2017 based on supply chain sources, which is probably totally what's gonna end up happening, but I'm a hopeful person. Some may say that's
I wouldn't be surprised if it's late February before we see him.
So don't, please, for the holidays, kids, you want gift cards, Apple gift cards.
Yep.
Well, if you want a nice, shiny, white box of floss, then yeah, you want a gift card. So let's see.
Hey, send me gift cards. I need to buy some dongles for my MacBook Pro that's showing up soon.
You bought one of the, would you get the 13 or the 15?
15 touch bar.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So I hear that that thing is Apple's Vista.
You know, I got to play with one a couple days ago. And I think that there's a lot of people that need to just kind of chill out and get over being so freaked out. It's a really nice computer. This is not Apple's Vista. People saying this is Apple's Vista, I get it. It's not the computer for everyone. And so if it's not the computer for you, then yeah, okay, it's not the computer for you. But it's not a Vista.
I don't
understand. It is so not Vista.
I just
they
don't
are
understand
having some production issues.
Why everybody's so uppity about it. I don't know why.
No, it's because a lot of people, okay, I think it's because people get or have been like really personally invested in Apple for a long time. So when they get exactly what they want, which never happens, then they feel like Apple is personally catering to them. When they don't get exactly what they want, then they feel like Apple is personally slighting them in some way. And I think most people are doing this without even realizing that's what's happening. They're just really upset because they know what they want and that's not the thing they're getting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest deal is that it feels like you're getting older technology, which in a way you are, but it's, again, what the best that Apple had available to it given the parameters of the machine they were trying to build. But people don't understand that. They just look at a spec sheet and go, well, this is an old processor, this is old technology. And then the second big thing, which I think is somewhat valid, I mean, the pricing going up is a little hard to swallow, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
it looks like the computer that I really need right now, and I'm excited to get mine.
That's good.
Right.
My inclination is to assume that the power that they put in there was sort of constrained by battery technology and the amount of usable hours of compute time that they were shooting
for. It was constrained by Intel's release cycle and Intel falling behind. I mean, that's what it was constrained by. And I think Apple really felt like they needed to get a notebook out this year. And I mean, they could have waited till the first quarter of next year, but there was a lot of pressure on them to get a machine out. I think they wanted to get a machine out too.
Fair.
In some ways, I kind of wish they had just waited and thumbed their nose at everybody and said, look, forget it. We are not ready to make the machine that we really want to make. We don't have the pieces that we need, but Apple doesn't do that. They don't talk like that.
Well,
so.
Whatever. All right. So let's go back to the AirPods.
I totally took us down a rat hole.
Yeah.
The real point is I have to buy some dongles and
send me gift cards.
I think Monoprice has some good dongles. Right?
Yeah. This early in the game, I would probably be sticking with, especially given some of the things we've heard about USB-C issues, I would personally probably stick with Apple dongles.
What issues?
For exactly that reason.
USB-C can be kind of persnickety, from what I understand. There's been some issues with monitor dongles and things like that. And there is a thing where Shoot, I can't remember what it's related to. Is it the displays, Jeff, where some of them Apple's like using an, oh no, there was a hub. There was a USB-C hub that somebody had made, and they found out that the Texas Instruments controller chip they were using in their existing hub is not compatible with Apple's new MacBook Pros, which require a newer version of that same TI chip. And it has to do again with the Intel processor and the whole architecture that exists there. So
yeah, but Apple also said that if that the devices should just be compatible. So I don't know. Apple seems to think it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, the point is though, you know, I'd kind of wait. I mean, because it's so early and this is a brand new machine, if I was investing in dongles, I would probably try to stick with Apple's ones.
That's what I'm doing too. Yep.
There was another early review where this guy had gotten a weird third party dongle, was doing a video review, and he was having all kinds of video issues. But he bought, you know, a $30 dongle off of Amazon, some Chinese thing.
Hmm. Okay. So as far as AirPods go, there was the first rumor that indicated something other than January 2017 where was this? It was some reseller, someone saying that it would launch on November 17th. Well, it is the 19th right now, so that didn't happen.
Yeah, this is the one that I wanted to talk about.
I wasn't believing the... But no, let me just go all in. I was totally calling fake on the November 17th rumor.
Okay.
You just didn't know because I wasn't in the country at the time.
Yeah. So then from Barclays Investment.
Wait, before we move on, can we clarify for our audience why that one's fake?
Because it didn't happen?
No, it did happen. But this was the scenario. If you looked into it, so a bunch of the sites were reporting on this, but once you read past the headline and you look into it, what it was a UK retail chain, right? And a guy walked in and asked the sales guy on the floor, when are you going to have AirPods? And the sales guy on the floor goes, oh, I heard we were getting them in next week. So it's like asking, you know, like a Best Buy employee, basically, when the AirPods are coming out, and then having all these blogs and media places report that, oh, it's coming out next week. Awesome.
So anyhow, end of January, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them roll out in late February.
Okay, so Barclays says they issued a research note saying that AirPods might enter production in December, which, you know, means they could potentially be released in December, but that kind of sounds like January to me.
No.
And then there were some other third-party resellers. A French site believes November 30th might happen. So, yeah, I'm just going to sit there checking every single day for my AirPods. And until, what is it, Jeff? February?
That's my guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it could be end of January, but I really think it's going to be February.
All right.
How could Apple get that so wrong?
I don't know.
So wrong. Yeah, man. They really got that one wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So before we switch
October.
Before we switch to the next topic, I'm going to stop here.
Did.
No, I was switching. Okay, so we're back. I had to switch to my lovely T-Mobile LTE internet because I have very thick walls. Anyway, so there were a lot of beta releases since we last recorded. So it looks like single sign-on is now available in tvOS 10.1 and 10.2. Apple turned that on
But only in the betas.
In the betas, yes.
Right, and only like for Dish Network and some other satellite network.
Dish, GVTC, Hotwire, and Sling TV. So people
awesome.
are all
you're welcome, Comcast beta testers.
Yeah. Well, It is beta.
It is beta. I'm not complaining. It's beta.
If it comes out without Comcast, I'll be pretty annoyed.
That's beta for our UK friends.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
And
which is the version way before Zed.
Almost all the way before Zed.
See?
Now, so they also seeded a second beta of tvOS 10.1. And then, I don't know that that really had much else in it. They seeded the third beta of tvOS 10.1 to developers. They seeded the second beta of 10.2.
The good one.
And the second beta of iOS 10.2. And those include the TV app. So
which is awesome.
In iOS, you also get the SOS feature for your iPhone. So if you click your power button 5 times, then it doesn't turn on sticky keys. It turns on SOS. It calls the authorities. So
what happens if you just start mashing the button like crazy? So you go way past 5. Does it still do what it's supposed to?
I don't know, Adam.
Because I can imagine if you're in a situation where you're stressed enough that you need to just start hitting that button for SOS, you're not going to be going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're just going to be mashing that button. Go, come on, police. Get here now. Come on, police.
Yeah, I agree. Adam?
I haven't tested it.
Do it.
I don't have it's on my iPad, and I don't have my iPad in here with me.
Okay. So then what else? Oh, yeah, TV app.
App is awesome. Awesome. It can't get here fast enough.
I mean, it sounds like you have it. How is it? What do you...
Awesome.
I mean, you're using it on your Apple TV or your iPad or what?
I have not... I actually want to put it on my Apple TV now. I wasn't going to, but after I have it on my iPad and it replaces the video app. So now TV is all there. You get your library, which has your TV and your movies.
Cool.
All in there, your purchase stuff. But yeah, the integration of having that now playing screen where it has all the shows that I'm currently watching, regardless of what channel or what app I'm watching them on. And then on top of that is giving me recommendations based on the apps that I actually have installed and actually the shows that I have access to rather than a bunch of junk that I don't have access to is awesome. I was finding all these movies that are like buried deep in the HBO app that I had no idea existed there. And I'm like, oh, that's on HBO. And it's great because you tap the movie recommendation and then it shows you know, which app it's in, but you're still in the TV app and you hit play and it just plays.
Nice.
Freaking awesome.
So on the Apple TV, there's a setting. I don't know what the default is, but you can have it set so that the little TV looking button that
right.
actually brings you that will bring you to the TV app instead of
right into the TV
to the
app.
Home screen.
That I'm pretty sure that's how you're going to want to set it. Just
I think
hit
so
the
too.
Button and it takes you to the TV app.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So for me, you know, because I don't have a cable subscription and I don't have any of those other things, I'm basically getting HBO, CW, all the CW shows, the CBS app I have installed because they allow some free TV without having to go through a cable provider. I'm trying to think what else is in there. The biggest bummer and the thing that Apple needs to solve, and maybe we have the other story where I think they're attempting to solve this problem, is not having Netflix playing ball with that thing is a huge loss.
Yeah.
And it also further illustrates the fact that they really need to get Amazon on board.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah,
so.
That needs to be done.
Hulu, like, I think like Hulu and Showtime and some of those things are on board, but I don't subscribe to those currently. So I would imagine if you use like HBO, Hulu, Stars, you'd be like in heaven.
Yeah, I might actually load that up and give it a try. Yeah, there were some more betas. Third beta of iOS 10.2, and then a public beta made available. And also the second beta, the second and third betas of watchOS 3.1.1 with under the hood fixes. So that leaves us with a story that I think appeared first on the Mac Observer, which is that our friend Sal Segoyan has been eliminated from Apple.
So I may actually have been the first one to cover that. He made the announcement at Mac Tech Conference, and I was there in his session when he did that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was between you and Dalrymple as to whoever got it out first. I didn't check timestamps, but you were within minutes of each other, probably.
And Jim had the technical advantage in that he probably could have written his from his MacBook Pro, whereas I did the whole thing on an iPad Pro, including image editing.
Well done.
Nice.
So, all right. So why does anybody care? Jeff, I'm going to let you explain who Sal is and, you know, any opinion.
All right. So the deal is Sal Segoyan, he has been Apple's manager of automation and scriptability things.
I think his title was czar of automation. I believe
for a while.
His official title doesn't actually include czar. it may have at one point, and they may have changed it, but so he's the guy that's been responsible for keeping AppleScript alive and healthy. He's the guy that's responsible for making sure Automator is hooking into all kinds of things and other scriptability functions for OS X, well, now Mac OS. And he's been doing this for nearly 20 years. And he's the guy that has been championing these technologies even when Apple was ready to abandon them. So he's been fighting the good fight for us for many years. And so he was told recently that his position was no longer necessary for business reasons, and that Apple didn't need to have a manager in charge of those things anymore. So they let him go.
Yeah.
And on one hand, that is really concerning because there are a lot of people that are heavily invested and rely on, in a very serious way, Apple's automation technologies. But on the other hand, Craig Federighi is saying that Apple fully intends to continue supporting those technologies. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Apple plans to update them, but at least they plan on supporting them. And then the other thing is that now that Sal is no longer working for Apple, he has the flexibility to do things that he couldn't do when he worked at Apple. So he can still champion these technologies from outside the company. He won't have as much sway, of course, but he was showing off some really cool things that he's doing with Apple's automation technologies right now, and he's planning on releasing all kinds of interesting things that really take advantage of those technologies. So he'll continue to champion for AppleScript and Automator and other Apple scripting utilities. He just can't do it from an office on Apple's campus. But it's kind of scary.
It is scary. So just so everybody understands, the automation technologies include the Unix command line interface, which includes Shell, Python, Ruby, Perl, system services, Apple events, which include JavaScript, AppleScript, AppleScript Objective-C, Scripting Bridge, Automator, Apple Configurator, and application scripting support in, you know, Photos, iWork, Finder, Mail, and, you know, tons of other awesome things. I use it every week on the show, for example. I do it. I use, you know, aside from Python, which, you know, that's and Shell, those are totally, you know, just
those things are at the core of the operating system. So, I mean,
yeah,
the question becomes, does Apple continue to develop and push those technologies forward if they don't have somebody like Sal sort of championing that inside the company? Or are we just getting, you know, the progressive improvements that you would get with the standard upgrades for those core services, right?
Well, it's got to be really hard. You know, you would assume that you have people invested just by nature in the company, the developers who are writing the software that makes OS X do its thing, or Mac OS do its thing, and all the applications right. that come out of that, you'd think that those people are inherently invested in a lot of those tools, at least the CLI stuff.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, though. If you want to go down the path of what's been happening this year and what Apple's been doing of, hey, we didn't put out a new Mac Pro this year. We put out a MacBook Pro that a lot of quote unquote pros don't consider adequate. We've focused a lot on iOS and iOS technologies, which doesn't have really much, if any, of this stuff available in it.
The closest we have on iOS is workflow.
Yeah, we filled the position for the guy within the company who was like the guy for these technologies. You know, the doom side of this, if you want to go down that path, is looking pretty gloomy. It's looking like here's another example of Apple saying on one side of their mouth, yeah, we're still there for the pros, yet behaving in a way that seems to indicate that they're taking some of these pro technologies away. Now, again, like you said, Federighi says, yes, we're still going to continue to support these things. But as Jeff pointed out, are they going to continue developing them and improving them? Are they going to bring them into iOS? Are they going to, you know, what's happening? And you can easily look at this as a very negative. I'm choosing not to. I'm choosing to remain hopeful because of what Federighi said. But in aggregate, you know, I sort of said, I can't remember if I said this on my show or the Mac show. This year, there's been a lot of stones sort of thrown out at the pro side of things by Apple, in my opinion. And any one of them is not that big a deal. But if you take them all in aggregate and sort of put them together, it's like, what is going on? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The when you look at the totality of the circumstances here, it's not reassuring.
Right. Yeah. Each one you can kind of go, oh, well, that's okay. That's not a big deal. Like we're doing with this one, right? Oh, it's not a big deal. Federighi says they're going to still be doing this. But then you go, wait a minute. They didn't put out a Mac Pro this year, and that thing's over 1,000 days since it was updated. They put out a Pro laptop that a lot of people think is kind of middle of the road and really doesn't target the high-end Pro community. You know, and you can start going further back, killing Automator, or not Automator, the
HyperCard.
Photo tool. No, the photo tool.
iPhoto?
Aperture.
Oh, Aperture. Right, yes.
You know,
I went back off, too far.
Killing off Aperture, which I know that wasn't this year, but, you know, just all, this aggregate of stuff that Apple's been doing is, starts to get, you put them all together and you're like, wow, they really seem to be sending a clear message that they're moving totally consumer and maybe prosumer, and the pro market just really isn't a place that they're really focused on anymore.
In many ways, that's what it feels like.
And I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do as a company either. I mean, business-wise, it may be right. The one concern that I have is the biggest champions of Apple and the biggest supporters and the biggest people that, you know, really are the sort of people on the ground that are recommending Apple products, especially their desktops and notebooks to friends and family and things like that, are those people. You know, those people have a each one of them has a halo effect that, you know, expands well beyond their just buying of a machine, and Apple's starting to really alienate those people.
Yeah.
And maybe they feel they're at a place where that doesn't matter, that they really don't need that. But I could see it potentially long-term sort of backfiring on them.
They think they don't need that. They think they don't need that, right. But they do need that.
I don't know. I mean, only time's going to tell, but it does feel like they're willing to take the risk, and they feel like they're at a place where the consumer market, they have enough of a stronghold that they're going to be able to continue to develop and grow that. They could absolutely be right. Well, without those people.
Yes, they may very well be right. There's a lot we don't know about what's happening inside Apple, and it's always been that way. Right. But okay, so one thing we do know is that the reaction to Sal announcing that he wasn't with Apple anymore was pretty strong.
Oh, yeah.
And my guess is that Apple wasn't anticipating such a strong reaction to what happened. And that, I mean, they listen. Sometimes it doesn't feel like they do, but they are paying attention. And I think that what's happened over the past couple days since Sal told us what's going on, I think what's happening is that Apple is stepping back and figuring out how to really respond to this. And I think this bodes well, generally speaking, for automation on the Mac, because Apple may now be realizing just how really important these technologies have been to an important part of their market.
What makes you feel that way?
Sorry, go ahead, Michael.
Why do you think that? Why do you think they're reevaluating this and listening? What gives you that indication?
Well, first, Craig Federighi made a public statement.
Right. It's a big deal.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Where? I didn't see that. Is it on TMI?
Yeah, so it was like a day after the news broke. Craig was making his public statement about how Apple plans to continue supporting automation technologies.
Okay.
So that's really what's giving me some hope out of this. Well, that coupled with the really strong reaction we've seen from Mac users.
From the community, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Apple was also, by the same token, I think they were caught off guard by the strong reaction that the community had to the MacBook Pro announcement.
I think you're right. It feels like right now there's been kind of a disconnect between Apple and their users. And what I'm hoping is that these two incidents are really resonating with the company, and the senior management is taking a real serious look at what they're doing and reevaluating a lot of things.
Oh, I almost forgot the other pebble that was thrown this week, the book.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
You know, I've been so busy with everything else, I haven't had a chance to see the book.
It's beautiful.
So let me get this straight. It's and seriously, I know almost nothing about the book. So it's a collection of like really high quality professional photographs of Apple technology over the years.
Yeah, 450 images, starting with the return of Steve Jobs, so the iMac going through all the way through current times. And it's a, you know, very high quality photography, very high quality photo book. It's a coffee table book. Like embossed cover dedicated to Steve. And it's just all the designs, insides and outsides, and just these gorgeous, almost no words. There's a small foreword, and then the rest is just entirely beautiful pictures.
Yeah,
all right.
Apple stuff.
It's one of those things.
Knowing how much high quality photo print books can run.
Yep.
I'm not surprised at how much it costs.
Yeah. So there's a small version that's $199, and there is a larger version that is $299. And okay. They're available at Apple stores, and you can buy them from Apple right now.
All right. The price seems reasonable, from what you've said, based on what I know about other books.
Yeah, a little on the higher end, but maybe about $50 higher, I would imagine, than probably you would expect. But it's Apple.
Yeah, but it's in that target range. But I can see why people would be flipping out. You know, if they're angry about the features on the new MacBook Pro, and then Apple says, "Here's this great book," I'm imagining
showing how great we are and how great our designs are, and oh yeah, well, we didn't get you that Mac Pro, but here, have this book for the holidays.
And then everybody starts flipping tables.
Yeah, I can see why a lot of people would be really getting their freak out on right now.
Right. Yeah, so we didn't get those AirPods to you that we promised. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we only have this MacBook. And, oh, it's more expensive. And sorry we didn't get the Mac Pro out to you this year. And, oh, there are no new iMacs either. But, hey, you can have
this. Guys, you got to look at this book.
$300 book.
Well, yeah, if you put it that way.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it just feels ostentatious and like, yeah, we're great, but we haven't really done a lot with the hardware this year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a great book and all this stuff. The timing was very poor, and Apple maybe should have thought a little bit harder about.
Yeah.
When and how they were releasing it. I mean, they did it. They tried to do it quietly, it seemed like, but
there's no way we're going to miss that.
No. And, you know, really, for what the book is, trying to do it quietly is the wrong thing. So they needed to pick the right time.
Right.
And my guess is that when everything else kind of exploded for them, they were sitting back thinking, ah, crap, because we're really committed to the time for the book. Because you want that out for the holiday buying season.
Hey, Michael. Yeah. So you know that $170 that you're going to spend on the AirPods? You can buy the book, and there is a gorgeous picture of them in there.
Oh, good.
And you just like look, tell your friends that. Yeah, I bought a picture of the AirPods for $200.
Make sure that you're not
gorgeous,
within fist distance of
eight
of
that color separations. Gilded edges on the pages, silver gilded edges. Beautiful.
What a world.
I totally get why some people's eyes are crying tears of blood right now.
Or permanently stuck in an eye roll.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a few people out there that actually detach the retinas rolling their eyes so hard.
Uh-huh. But I mean, just right. I mean, if you're into, there are a lot of people who are collectors and they're into this kind of thing. And if you're a huge Apple fan and you're into photo books and things like this, this is something that, you know, some people would absolutely be interested
well,
in.
Yeah, I have a feeling one of my friend's dad, I have a feeling he's going to get this because this guy happens to have made an appearance in Leander Caney's Cult of MacBook.
Right.
So this guy being in one of the Apple books, are you familiar with the guy who had the Apple vest?
I'd have to go pull my copy of that book.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's got a vest. It's like patches of some kind of some kind of patches thing. Anyway, he's in the book. I'm guessing he's totally already bought this thing.
Yep.
Because he's crazy.
Probably.
I'll probably go check it out in the Apple Store. I'm assuming that
I'm
going to
check it out. Yeah.
Browse through.
So anyway, let's move
on
to
go check it out. I'm interested to see it.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. It's just $300. I'm in college. I can't really justify that kind of crap.
I just dropped $3,000 on a Touch Bar MacBook Pro, and I have to go buy some dongles. So, sorry guys, I'm not buying the book.
You could buy pictures of dongles.
I could totally buy pictures of dongles. I really need to reevaluate my priorities.
Yeah.
Did you get the 5K monitor?
No.
Okay, so let's move on.
I think it would be neat to try one, but no, I didn't buy it.
So this is from Maka Takara. They believe that there's a potential for Apple to add a jet white color option for the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus.
Yeah, because they're just shipping those jet black ones like crazy. They're not delayed or anything. Let's throw another color on the pile.
So what exactly would jet white be?
Just glossy white.
Shouldn't it be like snow white or something like that? Or blizzard white?
Well, this is from Maka Takara, so who knows? Right. But I like this one, the top comment on Mac Rumors. It says, jet white, what's next, milk black?
People, you make me laugh.
Yeah, so I would love that. I have to say...
but it's not happening.
I had pretty much every iPhone you could get in white until the iPhone 7. I decided to get the black one, not the jet black. Man, I wish I had a white iPhone because I lose this thing. I feel like an old man saying that, but it's too black. I can't find it.
You don't put a case on it?
Yeah, there's a black case on it. It's even worse.
There's your problem, Michael. You're dressing it wrong.
I know. Yeah. I know. I just wish I had a white iPhone.
You need to get the product red leather case or something.
I need a white iPhone. I miss my white iPhone. I want to trade it. Hey, actually, I'm going to put this out there right now.
Did they not have a white leather case?
Anybody who wants a black 128 gig GSM iPhone 7 wants to trade for a white one for a silver, hit me up because I'm down to do that. I'll do that. Let me know. Moving on. Next year's iPhone 7 may include a 4.7-inch LCD model with a single camera, and the 5.5-inch would have both LCD and OLED models with dual cameras. This is from Ming-Chi Kuo, who I believe is trolling us.
Oh, my God. He is so totally trolling us right now.
Because... didn't he come out saying later on that the OLED model isn't going to happen?
Yeah, he totally waffled on the OLED model stuff.
Yeah, so OLED's not happening. I don't think it's happening.
No, it is. I think it is.
Okay.
It's happening. It's just it's hard to say when, because Apple needs displays of the right size, of the right quality, in the right quantity.
Right.
And until quantity Apple can get that trifecta, issue. Not going to happen.
Yeah. You don't buy this that they'll do a mix, though, where they'll have the high end be OLED?
Nope.
I don't put it past them after doing the whole dual lens thing.
I just don't see it happening.
It would just be weird to have
I could be wrong.
It'd be weird to have a big phone be the only one that has OLED. From a marketing standpoint, sure, let's make the more expensive one have OLED, but it makes a heck of a lot more sense if the smaller one, the more reasonably sized phone, has the OLED, because OLED is hard to produce.
One thing that plays out to kind of prove that Apple would want to stick with the same display technology across all the models is the thing that surfaced this week, that they have deliberately crippled the Qualcomm LTE chips to run slower than their max speed so that they can keep it in line with the Intel modems.
Yeah, I think Apple really likes to have that consistency between the two models.
Yeah, the underlying technologies being identical in terms of performance, in terms of specs. So yeah, you may be right. I mean, if Apple can't go OLED across the board, they may stick with the IPS. And, you know, and frankly, the display on the iPhone 7 is gorgeous.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I guess the big advantage is just the power. I mean, the power consumption would be a huge benefit to them with the OLED.
Okay, so last thing I want to talk about. Apple has launched a repair program for the iPhone 6 Plus, which it's the touch disease thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that we talked about
it. So it's like phone leprosy, your fault. Right?
It's your fault.
Yeah, phone leprosy. So the idea is these phones, a repair shop, I think maybe coined this. So it's a rare repair shop that has seen a ton of these come in with the same issue. So the idea is there are two chips on the main boards for the iPhones that Apple has been using for several generations now. And these chips seem to be probably becoming desoldered in some way, but they've had to replace the chips. That's the only way to fix it, is to replace the chips.
Okay, so Adam, explain to me how Apple is saying that their chips desoldering is our fault, meaning us, the users.
They claim that it's happening on people who have dropped their phones multiple times, and that's dropping the phone that is causing the issue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Give me a... Jesus.
But I don't think there's a lot of evidence. I mean, I guess Apple feels like they've done their due diligence and have discovered that that's what's going on. But when it first started getting reported, I don't think, I mean, that wasn't indicated that these were drop issues that were causing this problem. It was more like this repair shop was saying, we're seeing a lot of these come in. And just the volume, they were talking about multiple phones a week that had the symptoms just at this one repair
shop.
I'm
really having a hard time swallowing the whole, well, you're holding it wrong. You're holding it too loose and it's falling out of your hand.
Well, and what they did discover too is that Apple had in the design removed some supports that had been kind of in place in or around the chips that were in the six models. So there was an underlying design change, and they seem to think that, you know, the lack of that support, especially with the Plus models, is allowing more flex on the phone. You know, not bending like Bendgate, you know, it's not like it's going to bend, but there is just less support in that area, which would lend itself to the phone flexing more in that area, which can cause the solder joints to basically crack. Hmm. You know, and that ultimately is what causes this. And the thing is like, even with this repair, if you pay the $150, it's not going to necessarily maybe fix the underlying problem. And this is the same issue that I have with Apple in them not addressing the actual disease, but just sort of fixing the symptom. This is what happened with my, you know, the 2010 and 2011 MacBook Pros. You know, they had the overheating solder joint problem on the GPUs, and Apple, yes, they did a warranty extension program, and yes, they replaced logic boards on tons of machines, but they would just eventually fail again. You know, so it's just like they want to put a Band-Aid on it, fix it, and then hope the person doesn't come back, or when they do, they just fix it again until they can finally, the person gets fed up and I think buys a new system.
I lost track of how many times your computer went in for service, Adam.
So between 2010 to 2016, I went through 9 logic boards.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
So in 9 logic boards in 6 years.
Yeah, so did we mention that they're making people pay $150 to get this fixed?
Yeah, it's not covered. If you don't have AppleCare, it is not covered. I don't even
know. So people have to pay $150 to take care of a design flaw.
Well, Apple considers it user damage. Again, they're alleging that what causes this is dropping the phone. So they're filing it under, this is user damage, which is never covered by AppleCare.
Right.
That's true.
Yep. Okay.
And it's only $150 if you don't have a cracked screen. Which is interesting, because if you dropped it, chances are you probably have a cracked screen too. but
yeah, I'm guessing if you've dropped your phone in such a way that it's breaking the solder joints or solder points, that your screen probably broke too.
The whole thing is just, it's just bad. Again, it's once again, it's bad form. It's Apple not being the Apple that we've all grown to know and love. You know, stuff like this in the past just felt like they wouldn't be, this wouldn't even be an issue.
What right? About the whole thing with the bumpers? Do you remember that?
You're holding it wrong. I'm talking more about just standing behind their hardware, you know, and this just smacks of, you know, let's put this back on the consumer. And it always used to be, at least to me, it felt like in the past, Apple would err on the side that, yeah, maybe there is something wrong with our design. If so many of these things are coming in, you know, with this same exact issue, you know, I'd love to know how they determine that this is people dropping their phones that's causing this.
I would love to know that too.
Because again, just based on the early reports that were done by this one tech shop, it seems like way more repairs than just, you know, people
dropping. That sounds like a crazy amount of dropped phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's do our picks now.
Cool.
So, Jeff, what's your pick?
All right, my pick is... All right, so here's the backstory on my pick. You know, I totally got into all this home automation, smart home stuff, and I have Hue lights. And I recently discovered that one thing that you can't, you know, like, really change is human nature.
What? And hold on.
I know, total shock. So the problem that I've had is that I have these Hue bulbs, and the light switches that control them keep getting shut off. And instead of going through fights, you know, and not like real fights, but, you know, like, hey, come on, this is how this needs to work, I realized what I need to do is embrace human nature and find the way to make the system work, knowing full well that people are going to just shut off lights because we've been trained all our lives to hit switches on walls. So that makes my pick the Philips Hue dimmer switch. And it's like $25 on Amazon. And it, you know, it's like the same size as a regular light switch panel would be. And it just ties into your Hue system real easy. You fire it up. There's like a little battery strip thing that you pull out so the contacts happen. And then in the Hue app, you say, add a new device, and it sees the switch. You give it a name, and you're done. And so now I have this thing that has an adhesive panel that I just stuck on the wall by my regular light switch. And then the dimmer switch has lights on, lights off, and then two dimmers, you know, it's like dim up, dim down buttons. It's magnetic, so it just clicks into the little plate that I stuck on the wall. So it's just sitting there, but I can pop it off and take it over to the couch if I need, and it can be used as essentially a remote control for those lights. And it turns out that's like the perfect way to address human nature, where people just hit switches to shut off the Hue lights.
Cool.
I looked it up. $24.47 on Amazon.
Can you replace your actual switch with this?
You would need to get a different panel to put on the wall, and you'd also need to do the thing where you have the wiring redone so that it's always on. So yes, you could end up doing that, but what I'd recommend instead is spend like $5 on a pack of those little switch protectors that screw on. So you take out the screws for the light switch, set this thing on, screw it in.
Oh, I see.
And so it's covered, or it covers the switch except on one side. So you can slide your finger in and flip it up or down. So it takes a more conscious effort to actually do something with the switch.
I got you.
And then stick this other thing on the wall.
Cool. All right. Adam, what's your pick?
Trying to remember and find out. Has anybody here picked Human Resource Machine, the game?
I don't think so.
All right. So this is from the same folks who created Little Inferno and the World of Goo. Two awesome games. So this is a game. It's $9.99. But again, no in-app purchase. You just buy the game. You play it. And the concept here is you're kind of a little cog in a wheel inside a giant corporation, a person. And it, what I like about it is it's kind of like a programming logic puzzle game for nerds. So each level, you get kind of a job or a task to do, and then you have to kind of code together a little series of steps with what would be typically programming logic and things like that to try and solve the problem. And it's usually you've got certain things coming in like inputs and then certain things going out like outputs. And you basically have to put it together. So the concept's really simple. It, you know, gets more and more difficult. So it starts out really easy, and then each level kind of gets progressively more and more complex, and they start adding more concepts and things like that. But it's a fun little game, and I love the art style. It's the same style as, like, Little Inferno. If you're familiar with that game, I loved that game, by the way. That was the oddest game. That was the one where you just threw things in the fire. And you, like, burn things.
Oh, I remember you talking about that one.
Yeah, Little Inferno is a great game, too. Just bizarre. But a lot of fun. And a good little, you know, open it up, play a couple levels, put it away kind of game.
Cool.
So, Human Resource Machine, $9.99 on the App Store.
I think it's $4.99.
This is the Mac App Store version. So they have a Mac App Store version. You're right. It's probably $4.99 for the iOS version. I'm giving you the Mac price.
Cool. All right. So my pick, I think, kind of nullifies, at least for a little while, all of the I don't know, upsetness that has happened either in Mac Apple land for people or in other areas of life. At least for me, this has made my life much, much happier. It kind of goes back to better times when my three favorite ornery old Brits were on TV talking about cars. And it's the Grand Tour on Amazon. They're back.
Is it good?
Oh, it's so good. It was great. They nailed the first episode. Absolutely nailed it. And I think that the first episode may not even be, it's probably not going to be the best episode. I think the next episode is just going to be even better because there were a lot of things they had to get out of the way. So I think everybody who watched Top Gear was really anticipating the McLaren P1, the Ferrari LaFerrari, and the Porsche 918 being raced and timed and all of that stuff, because that was kind of promised on Top Gear and it never happened. So that happens in the first episode. I don't think that's really a secret. I think everybody assumed that would happen. And of course they had to set up the whole idea of what the show is going to be about. And of course they give you a nice preview of things, and they even do review, another car in there as well. So it's everything I wanted. And it seems like it's only going to get better. So I'm very happy about that. Check out, the Grand Tour. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free. And it comes out every Friday. So it comes out even in my favorite way of not just giving you the whole thing in one go.
I like the whole thing in one go.
I like that it's released weekly. I can't binge. I don't want to binge. I don't have any self-control, and I'm always upset after I binge. So Every Friday, a new episode is released. Check it out. It makes me very happy. So,
So one last quick story. We don't have to dive into this too much, but because you mentioned the McLaren,
it just broke
today. Apple did. Apple apparently did go meet with and talk with McLaren. Remember back when there were the rumors that Apple was going to buy them for like 1.1 billion to 1.5 billion pounds or something like that?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they said Apple never made an actual bid, but the CEO did come out and say, yeah, we talked to Apple. We talked about what we were doing here and stuff like that, but they never put in a bid for the company. So
they realized that would be a bad idea.
That rumor wasn't the rumor wasn't totally crazy. I mean, it sounded crazy at the time, but.
Yeah, it did sound crazy. That is a pretty crazy rumor.
The nugget of truth that I found in the rumor when we first heard it totally fits with Apple's MO, which is they go talk to other companies about what they're doing and learn from that.
Right, exactly.
Not the same thing as talking to a company to buy them.
True. So yeah,
there was a kernel of truth in that rumor, mm-hmm. but that's it. A kernel.
Yeah. So iPhone picks and the show notes can be found at theiosshow.com. Tell a friend about the show. If you know someone who would like it, review it in iTunes, rate it, send feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Maccast, maccast.com, and at Maccast on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Thanks. It's always awesome.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. With that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?